if you'd had time to browse through our notice sheets for today, you'll have glimpsed briefly the general gist of today's message. Probably. Well, in part, at least. That was the objective. I put the brief front page reflection together during the week, on Wednesday. At that stage, I did not fully know where we might be going with today's reading. The challenge always, for me, is to try and connect the text to our everyday. I met with the worship team on Tuesday and we had discussed various aspects of the reading. I felt it was a productive, energising time together. We should have recorded our discussion. Someone said, "That's a good sermon." But the following day, all those great thoughts and directions had become a little vague and a little bit fuzzy. Struggling with Bible passages, I'm told, is a good thing. And that's the case, I must be extremely virtuous. The lectionary readings for this year have included the Gospel of Mark. Today, on this Sunday, we depart from Mark's Gospel for a six-week period and enter into the world through the process, spirituality, theology of the writer of the Gospel of John. In particular, over this period, chapter 6 of John's Gospel is featured. This Sunday has sometimes been referred to as the Sunday of Signs. Within Jesus' ministry amongst the people and also for his disciples, Jesus is displaying signs. In today's reading, Jesus recognises the needs of those who seek him and he sustains them, providing generous and abundant amounts of food. Through these actions, Jesus' divinity, purpose and oneness with God is being established by the gospel writer. Often when folk have made a decision, chosen a particular path to follow, at some point they must want confirmation of that decision. Sometimes out of frustration they may be heard to mumble, even shout desperately, "Give me a sign, show me a sign." Last Friday, a member of our congregation who shall remain nameless posted a photo on Facebook showing about six spots of rain on a very dry paver. Apparently these spots fell on Friday. A brief sign and a reminder of what rain might look like if only more would fall, and it has. Praise God. In today's reading, we find that large crowds have been following Jesus. They too were looking for a sign, confirmation that Jesus might be the one, not fully knowing but recognising that this person Jesus might offer hope and release from an oppressive and controlling empire. "Give us a sign, show us the way." They were obviously impressed by what they had seen so far, and they wanted more. A bit like us wanting more rain. As I mentioned earlier, this text is rich in imagery and metaphorical reflections, and they are not lost on those for whom the writer was trying to connect 2,000 years ago. So what does it have to do with us today? The miracle story has significance as it is included in all four synoptic gospels. Must be important. John has embellished the telling in a way that is more intentional. For if we were to fast forward to verse 35, we hear tell of another well-known and oft-quoted text of bread and feeding. Jesus says, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never be hungry." A message in a sermon for another time, which flows on from links to this Sunday of signs. John's theology and message is establishing and identifying Jesus is very clear from the opening verse of the Gospel. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it." There's one other subtle layer which struck me, which is to do with grass. Lush green grass. Did you notice it? You don't think about green grass until you no longer have it, and there's not a lot of it around in this part of the world. So Jenny and I, we recently drove over to the coast with Cliff and Phil to Lismore and Austinville. My first thoughts that we were in the Garden of Eden. Lush green, rich soil, rain. Then drove back over the range into our drought-stricken region. In the reading, when the large crowds were approaching and Jesus saw what needs to be done, verse 10, Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." And there was a great deal of grass in the place, So they sat down, about 5,000 of them. So what's with the grass? I'd always imagined that setting as being dry and arid, just rocks and dust. Once again, a bit like our area. Fast forward again, and we find Jesus talking about feeding the sheep of his pasture from chapter 6 to chapter 21. And after a meal, Jesus is having a conversation with Peter, commissioning him to feed his lambs, feed his sheep. The imagery is rich, if not subtle. Mirrored here is a model of discipleship of feeding, nurturing and caring for each other, for all who seek to be nourished and sustained. During the week, Jenny and I, after morning tea, we went through the readings for today using the resource With Love to the World. The commentary and reflection for today's reading was prepared by Reverend Lindsay Cullen. In one part of Lindsay Cullen was rounding off a thought which went along these lines, and I paraphrased it a little. He says, "There is a bridge which crosses the gulf between the reality of our ordinary everyday humanity with the needs of an aching, hungry, hurting world and the aspirations of the church. This might appear to be an impossible gap to cross, an impossible task to fulfill, almost like the impossible task to feed so many in today's story. Jesus, of course, is that bridge that crosses the gap, taking the little we have and making it much and giving abundant grace. We are encouraged to be Christ who provides spiritual sustenance for us, to also be that bridge. We are buoyed by the Christ who comes to us in the midst of our fears and weakness, enabling us to reach our destination." There was a question associated with the reflection. Are you sustained by Christ, and in what ways? So I asked Jen this question. She paused, and after a while, and with a little bit of restrained emotion, said that it was in and through our friends, our church family, you here gathered this morning. Essentially, our interconnectedness is the key. Through our shared journey, through the celebratory times and through the difficult times, in knowing we are in it together, we are sustained in and through our relationship with Christ and with each other. There is an expression, "May the Christ in me greet the Christ in you." In this, there is being light to one another, to family, our neighbours and the wider world. About 10 years ago, we Southside here had a consultation. This was the second of three consultations over a period of time. All went well. We had a good affirming a report with positive feedback. We seemed to be headed in the right direction, and we were. The person who chaired that consultation was Brian Lenihan, who was living in Armidale at the time. Included in his report of how he perceived Southside, he describes Southside as a lighthouse church, a place visible and open to all in the way it operated and its being and doing church. It was an affirming statement. We've changed a little, but not a lot, and I believe this is how we live out our faith. And we heard from Sam already with Sam's testimony. Miracles do happen. The signs are there. It may not be in the spectacular, but in the subtle. God at work in the lives of others, being open to God's Spirit at work in subtle ways, miracles happen, both in words spoken and unspoken. One Monday evening at Choral Society, I don't know how many months ago it was, Sam was singing alongside Rob Wood. Sam just happened to ask Rob, "Do you know a church where I could play drums?" Rob's reply, "Have I a church for you?" I think that's how it started. Thanks for that conversation, and thanks for Rob. Connecting. This story of engagement and reaching out, interacting, revealing God's growing relationships can be echoed many times, not only through folk who gather here, but in and through all who seek to follow the one who sustains and nurtures. We've heard a number of Sundays, over Sundays, folk here sharing their faith stories we've talked about and their experiences. Stories of struggle, stories of God silently and unknowingly working through the lives of others, bringing hope and life. I missed Ruth's story, but I heard about it afterwards. It's a powerful story. God speaking through her and her not really knowing it, and saved a person's life. So in the good and not so good, God has been present. Christ's light has shone. This morning we've had two miracle stories, one following the other, separate yet connected. The final miracle story images Jesus coming to the disciples during a storm. After the feeding of the 5,000, the disciples head out across the lake to return to the other side. It is dark, a strong wind is blowing, and the waters become rough. Jesus is hovering over the deep when he approaches, walking on water, and they are terrified. Jesus identifies, sees, and knowing their fear, responds, "It is I, do not be afraid." Here again, John, the writer of the Gospel, uses language identifying Jesus' oneness and connectedness with God the Father. "It is I" can also be read as "I am," which fits neatly into the "I am" statements found in the Gospel. Chapter 10, "I am the good shepherd, providing pasture and abundant life for his sheep." Once identified, then they were willing to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat reached the shore where they were headed. In our struggles and in our strife, Jesus comes to us as if just waiting to be asked. Sam shared with us his struggles of addiction for smoking. Jesus came to him in a powerful way. And he's come to us through Sam in a powerful way. Finally, I'd like to draw upon a reflection adopted by a commentator by named David Loess. He goes on to say, "When all else fails, our relationships or our sources of security, our health or even life itself, when we fail, God promises stand firm. For God's word to us in baptism and communion remained faithful, calling us ever back to who we really are in God's eyes, God's beloved and holy children. We come and experience worship as ourselves. It seems like a simple thing, I know, and yet it's in so many ways of our lives we feel we must pretend, putting on a good face, not letting others in, holding vulnerability and honesty at bay, lest we drown in the fear of rejection. David Loess goes on, "Come to the worship, my friends, and especially the Lord's table, as a baby comes to the font, holding back nothing and risking all, for it is the Lord himself who invites us to share his meal, the Lord himself who nourishes you with his own body, and the Lord himself who calls you to new life and hope, now and forever. We are invited to come as we are, and this is a good week to remind us that while we are not in control, we are loved for who we are," says David Loess. So there you have it. Call to worship, fed, nurtured, loved and blessed. And the people said, Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you. Let's show a sign of